Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the California Angels and the City of Los Angeles, on the occasion of Her Majesty's royal visit, please welcome internationally renowned opera star Enrico Palazzo.
Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo!
You should have been pulled in the front room, they have faith in you. You should have been pulled.
What is up, everybody? Welcome in. Palazzo Podcast, 2 L's, 2 Z's. You guys know the deal. Welcome in. Fantasy Baseball Fridays. Your boy, Mike Virginia, joined by my good buddy, Britton Allen. 2 T's, 2 L's. Britton, how are we doing on this fine Friday, my friend?
I'm feeling much better. I was actually sick this week. I'm not going to get into the details, but I was a little under the weather. But every day as it got on, I got feeling a little bit better. And so now I'm back to like, I should be 80% quiet. I'm about 80% of my normal, not quiet self. So I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling much better. How about you? How are you doing?
Do you have at least 80% in you? Because we need you at least 80.
80 is, I shoot for 80 every single week. That's what I shoot for. I do two things. I aim to try. And okay. I aim for 80%.
Genius, genius, genius.
That's what Britton Allen is, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, I should say, for all the ladies joining us as well.
Yeah. Utah. All those Friday night ladies.
That's right. Welcome in. I don't know where else the ladies would be outside of in this live chat, Britton. You know, I mean, you got two handsome studs here. So
it's date night. Else? Yeah, it's date night at Palazzo Podcast. You got Mike V. You got myself, yours truly. Open up twist the cap off the rosé or whatever, the grige.
Yeah. Turn the lights down low, you know? I mean, I don't know.
Have some grige, some sharp cheddar.
That's right. Sharp cheddar. Thank you guys all for jumping in. Looks like we've got some people slowly trickling in here. Today's show is all about, some news and some updates. Britt and I were talking pre-show. No Michael Govier today. He will be back hopefully on Sunday. But we're going to talk a little bit about the first half, maybe some surprise people, maybe some guys to look at for second half. But as always, the live chat is open to you guys. Please feel free to drop your questions in the live chat. Yeah, come to us. Come. But as much info you can give us as possible would be greatly appreciated so we can give you the best answer. So, Britton, All-Star break coming this weekend, my friend. What stood out to you the biggest in the first half here?
It snuck up on me. Of course, I say that every year I get older, things start sneaking up a lot faster. And then you have kids. And everything just moves faster and faster and faster. I can't stop anything. I keep trying to press pause. Nothing happens. Everything's hurtling through space. We're spinning on a rock. There's the sun. I don't know what's happening. I'm drinking Nupresso at 6 o'clock central on a Friday night. Things have gone haywire. Cats and dogs living together. No, but yeah, this snuck up on me fast. It's been a great first half. I've gotten lucky with some players. And one in particular. Now, in most leagues, you draft one catcher. If you play NFBC, you draft two catchers. And in most leagues, you either drafted Cal Raleigh.
Give me two.
Or you didn't. And if you didn't, you're at a big disadvantage to the team that drafted Cal Raleigh. So that's one team out of 12 or 10 or whatever.
Yep.
But if somehow you just waited and decided, you know what, I'll take a shot at Tyler Soderstrom later in your draft, catcher eligible, first base and outfield for the Athletics. He's had a bust-out, breakout season. Not Cal Raleigh-esque, of course not, because literally the Cal Raleigh breakout is, I don't know, Mike Piazza or Buster Posey. I mean, it's one of like five of the best catcher starts in the history of baseball.
Oh, yeah.
But if you didn't get that and you got Tyler Soderstrom, you're doing okay. 16 home runs, 48 runs scored, 53 RBIs, a 262 batting average for a catcher. Come on, man. That's awesome. And five stolen bases. So we're talking about, you know, a late flyer on a catcher, and you're looking at over 30 home runs, over 100 runs, over 100 RBIs with a good average and 10 stolen bases. That's amazing. So I think Tyler Soderstrom is one of the best breakout sneaky players that is catcher eligible. I would have to say he's one of the MVPs of the first half. What do you think, Mike V?
I agree with that. I don't have any Tyler Soderstrom, but one guy I'm going to throw into that mix since we're talking catchers, you got to throw in Hunter Goodman. I mean, I don't think anybody was drafting this guy and has been kind of slowing down a little bit. I think the hamstring tightness, the All-Star break could not come at a better time for a guy like Hunter Goodman, not playing as consistent as he has been. Looks like he's sitting out every second game or every third game, I should say. So they're being careful with him. He's on a roll, Britton. 17 home runs, 52 RBIs, hitting .280 from the catcher spot, and is also outfield eligible, which is great. So he has outfield eligibility, and he's been valuable there as well, playing in the lovely course, because as everyone knows, this is a Rockies podcast through and through. So
Coors. Are we still, though? So have you taken your Brenton Doyle love and
out the window
and wiped gone. That out? You know, mm-hmm. Swipe right or swipe left, whichever one you do.
Yeah.
And now you're on Hunter Goodman and you're like, click, click, click.
I'm hammering the heart button on
hammering
there.
Hammering the heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sliding into those Hunter Goodman DMs.
Here oh, I've been Mike sliding, me. Baby. That's right. Yeah. He's been pretty good. I mean, I don't know if he can keep it up in the second half. We'll definitely see him. Who knows if he sticks with the Rockies? It sounds like he's off limits according to Colorado, but the right price, Britton. Everyone's got a price, and you never know. Hunter Goodman might be on the move come the trade deadline. But
is he the Rockies All-Star? I don't even know.
I think
he's got to be. He's got to be, right? If somebody in the chat knows, let me know. I can't think of any other player that on the Rockies that would be it. But I wonder, and also too, like, are you into the home run derby? Like, do you give an S about any of that stuff?
I'm so glad you brought that up, because no, I not anymore. I was back when they did the 10 out thing. You know, I personally liked it better that way. I know what they're doing this time around to keep it a little bit more engaged to the non-baseball fan, and actually making it a little bit more entertaining with the time limit and things like that. Nothing made me happier than watching. I don't know if you ever watched the Josh Hamilton Home Run Derby.
I missed that one. I know what you're talking about.
God. There. Yeah. And the dude was just, it was unbelievable when they actually got to take their time. Had 10 outs and that's it. And watching guys like Bobby Abreu at one point, he went nuts. Sammy Sosa, Ken Griffey, like that was the home run derby for me. We had this huge setup at my house every year. And now that has completely gone by the wayside. So I am the old man, get off my lawn type thing. But now I haven't watched the home run derby now, probably when they had the All-Star game in Washington, that was the last time I watched it. Ever since then, I haven't watched one second of it. So,
I enjoy it because, you know, they set it up competition style and, you know, you move on. And I like that. I like that fine. But of course, now being a selfish fantasy player, I drafted Jazz Chisholm in a lot of leagues. And yep. I see, you know, on the news, Jazz Chisholm has agreed to be, you know, and I'm like, no, like literally a month ago, you took a swing and grabbed your side. I'm like, somebody in the Yankees needs to step in here and say, yeah. Look, whatever they're going to pay you to be in there, we're here. Here's our check. Here's the check. You know, you chill for the weekend. Go to the, you know, Bermuda. I think he's from the Bahamas. I could be wrong. He's like, just anywhere but taking hard swings on a, you know, BP, you know, for no good reason, essentially.
Yep.
But, you know.
The thing with it is, too, is that if you guys didn't know, Brandon Lau is now on the IL because of that with side tightness. And Britton, you guessed it, buddy. You know what it is.
Ribs.
It's not the intercostal. It's the oblique this time.
Yeah, it is. It's always the oblique.
Yeah. So it looks like he was taking some ground balls. They do expect him to be back the first game after the All-Star break, which is good. But they wanted Curtis Meade's bat for the rest of the weekend between Friday and Sunday. So, but Jazz Chisholm's going to be right in that boat as well with side tightness and taking home run derby swings. Probably not the best for him. So I agree with that 100%. I do have him in a dynasty leagues, and I'm actually doing really well after finishing in dead last year. I'm in third. So I've really built up my team for this year to win now. So I need Jazz for the push. So I'm hoping that maybe he just lays down 10 bunts and then gets out of there. So
you hope he gets eliminated the first round. Yeah. That's what I hate to say it. That's my hope, because I really don't need him swinging 500 times.
Yeah.
And to win a trophy that says you're a home. You've won a home run showcase. Sweet.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right. So, yeah, I'm not super excited about that, but, and I'm not sure, and I'm going to be 100% honest.
Yeah.
As I usually am. I always like it when people say, look, I'm going to be honest, like, as opposed
to,
yeah, like, you're normally not honest. Like, you're already qualifying. You're normally not honest. All right. But
I'm guilty of that.
I don't think I've ever watched more than maybe one inning of an All-Star game ever. I just don't care. I don't know. What do you do? I mean, do you watch the whole thing? Do you enjoy it?
So here's the thing. Now that I'm older and have kids, no, I don't stay up for the whole thing, but I do like watching. See, this is the thing, dude. I'm such a purist and nostalgic guy. Like, I miss the days when they all wore like the matching jerseys and, you know, like in the 90s, early 2000s. That was prime All-Star game for me. I actually really liked it, and I get it from both sides. Remember when they did the whole thing about whoever won got home field advantage in the World
Series? They did that for a while. Yeah, I remember.
That was cool. And I don't think now that they need to have a representative of every team. Like, I don't think that's a rule anymore. But I also thought that was a cool wrinkle to have every team represented in the All-Star game. I think they try their best to do that regardless, but it's not like a thing anymore, which also sucks. So I'm very much a get off my lawn type guy with All-Star game and the way it's changed. But I do check out the first two or three innings, and then I just go to bed. So, because I have to get up early. There's no way I'm staying up till 10, 11 o'clock watching it. So,
yeah. And I mean, it's good for fans and it's good television. And, you know, all the players that I assume get some bonus. So, you know, it's all good. I just never cared about it all that much and still don't. Hey, do you want to do a quick home run derby bet? Let's take a look.
I love it. Let's do it.
Okay, so here are your choices. And, of course, I pulled out the most long-drawn-out thing. Okay, Ronald Acuna.
So he's Jr. no longer in there. Matt Olson's replacing him.
Oh, I'm sorry. I literally just Googled this, and I guess I didn't.
That's breaking news, by the way. That's breaking news. It just came out.
There you go. All right, so Olson, yeah. Matt Olson, Cal Raleigh. Let me know if the James Wood. That's sneaky. Speaking of first half superstars, James Wood was awesome. Mm-hmm. Byron Buxton. Now there's a guy you don't want anywhere near that thing.
Nope.
O'Neill Cruz, the hardest hitter, believe it or not. Junior Caminero. Brent Rooker. He's got to be a huge underdog. Of course, Jazz. Is that it? I guess that's it.
I think so.
All right. So you pick two, and I'll let you. You pick one, and then I'll pick one, and then you pick, and I'll pick the last one.
All right. My first pick in this draft for the Home Run Derby, I'm going to go Junior Caminero.
Ooh.
Has openly said he has the best juice on the books right now. If you were to select Junior Caminero, I think he's the last person that Vegas thinks is going to win it. So you got some pretty good odds. I think he's plus, can't remember what it was, something crazy last time I checked. So I'm taking Junior Caminero. He went out and said that he wants people to see, and he wants to showcase his power. So that makes me feel good. And the dude's got raw power and hits the ball in the air a lot. So I'm going to go Junior Caminero with my first pick.
All right. I'm going to take Rooker, Brent Rooker for the Athletics.
I knew you would, buddy.
Because
I saved him for you.
Yeah. Because I think he's like one of the older guy, like O'Neill Cruz. I think he might start getting frustrated if like his first five doesn't go out or something like that. Over swinging. I think Brent Rooker is going to go in there very workmanlike, kind of like a Pete Olson, and go in there and just all business. Now, does he have the same talent as a Cruz and Wood? And no, but I think he's got the best shot of actually lasting the longest. All right. So you took, hold on. I got to write this down.
Where's the bet book? Do we have that?
We do. It's around all here right. Somewhere, but I'll dig it up. But all right. So you took Caminero. I'm taking Rooker. Who's your next pick?
I'm going to go Matt Olson. I think I take guys who hit the ball in the air. O'Neill Cruz, from maybe I'm tilting my bet here a little bit. O'Neill Cruz, James Wood, those guys are all like really good line drive hitters. Not saying that they don't have power. I just like the mammoth shots that Olson hits. I'm going to go him.
Good pick. I like that veteran slant on that with big power. Just come in there and gank it. I'll take O'Neill Cruz just because if he does get on a roll, he's going to be hard to beat. So yep. I'll take O'Neill Cruz. So you've got Junior Caminero, Matt Olson, and I've got Rooker and O'Neill Cruz, and it'll probably be Jazz Chisholm. And then on the last swing of the last round, he's going to grab his side, and he's never going to play baseball again. Great.
Don't do that. Yeah.
Great.
Britton, let's get into some of these questions really quick, because I know some people are waiting in the live chat. Anthony Sharkus says, Colt Keith has arrived. I want to get your take on this, and the reason why I brought this up. I love Colt Keith. I think he's
NASCAR
great.
Driver. Oh, yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
A little preview. Everyone's sticking around for that. I like Colt Keith. He's very Willier Abreu for me. Would you be surprised to know that he sits almost against all lefties? Colt Keith does not play against left-handed pitching. How do owners, in your opinion, how do owners approach guys like Willier Abreu and Colt Keith, noting that you're not going to have them in the lineup against lefties? I assume these guys are probably somebody you can stash on your bench and use when they're in the lineup. But interested to hear your take or your thoughts on this.
Yeah, he's been super hot lately. Multi-hit in his past three games, multi-hits every single game, two home runs. So he's super hot. Yeah, you're exactly right. If it's a daily moves league,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. When the little green marks next to his name, you put him in and it's all good. If it's not, you hold him back. But I know that kind of oversimplifies it. But if it's a weekly lock league, then you just got to do your homework right, and you got to see lefty-righty matchups. But luckily, most of those big sites like ESPN or RotoWire or whatever, they have those free articles. You can go check it out. But you always want to get hot hitters. Carpe diem, as we always say. Is Colt Keith going to have multi-hit games for the rest of his season? No. No. In a month from now, he's going to be cold as ice. But
it is cold as ice.
You make me sacrifice. I don't know the rest of that song. Anyway, but so yes, grab him now. play him as much as you can. And in 3 weeks, there's going to be somebody else. So carpe diem, 100%. Keep grinding, because there are some teams. I don't know about you, Mike V. I know you're a big fantasy football player, very good at the fantasy football. Yep. And I've in my Twitter or X feed, whatever, I've noticed RotoWire and those other things coming out with their sleeper articles. You know about the sleepers?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And must have. I love the must have in all caps. Must have.
Or must own. Or,
but I don't know if you've noticed this too. Like, and I follow people, as many analysts, that do baseball and football.
Yeah.
But mine is like, last year I told you to draft X player. This year I have three. And you know, that whatever player they said is clickbait. Exactly. but you have to click on the thing to find out, right? Genius. So people are going to start checking out. So yeah, I'm all for getting the hot players like Colt Keith.
Yeah, and I agree with your take on the, you know, if you're playing a daily league or even a weekly league, like, you're going to have, if you own these guys, you have to be a locked and loaded type owner to swap these guys in and out, especially if you're playing daily leagues, because when he's on a lefty's on the bump, he will sit. It's part of the reason why I was out on Keith and Abreu. Like, I love their talent, but I'm not about guys who play, you know, only against righties. I want guys that have, you know, are going to be in the lineup most days, and Keith will be, but he will sit against lefties. So not something it kind of turns me off a little bit, Britton. You know, it's one of those things where I'm like, yeah, it's fine, but not somebody I kind of want to roster, because it almost feels like dead space to me. So,
And you know, the flip side of that argument is, you don't want him to start against lefties because it's going to kill his batting average.
That's true. That's true.
And it's going to give you bad ratio. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt you. Of course. And then the flip side to that flip side. So are we back on the right side? I don't exactly know, but it's like the shell game. We flip so many times. I don't know which side we're on anymore, but it's like, at the end of the day, plate appearances. Yeah. So, you know, plate appearances win your league. And if your hitters have the most plate appearances than all the other teams, chances are you're going to have more stats than all the other teams. So it's kind of a balance act. But, you know, but if you're in a league that has like innings capped, like in my auto new leagues, 162, like if your league has caps, you know, then you want Colt Keith, because you can't just volume your way into first place. So that's right. That's another thing to consider too.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree with that. You know, the thing with it for, you know, if you need a hot bat, like you said, I think that's the right move. You're right. Like, if you need a hot bat, you need somebody to get your team going and get a vault you into, you know, that if you're in a points league or in head-to-head cast league, whatever it may be, like, you got to own these guys and ride the wave. And like you said, there's going to be a situation where, you know, he's no longer a thing anymore and you're dropping him for the next flavor of the week. So Charles P says, what's up, everybody? What's up, Charles? Thanks for joining, buddy.
What's up, Charles? I see Uncle Ted Stars in there. Joe Chris, B. Hanny.
That's right.
What up, everybody? Great to see y'all. Sorry I missed Sunday, and same. I think you were out too. I think Michael Govier was the only man left standing.
Mm-hmm.
He did a great job keeping it going while we took off. But thanks everybody for coming back.
Yep.
Welcome. All Star break. Are we doing a Sunday show? I'm not sure.
I don't know. It wouldn't make sense, I guess, right? Because there's going to be no games the following week. So I guess there are much later in the week, I think is what it is, but I'm not sure.
Well, there is Fab running. So we can always talk about that if you want. I'm more than happy to do it if you want.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm totally down. Britton, let's talk about some other players that kind of surprised us. And a lot of these guys that we're mentioning, for people in the live chat or watching us later on YouTube, we realize that a lot of these guys, like, you know, if unless you're living under a rock, you know, like Cal Raleigh and, you know, who's the guy that I mentioned? I already forgot. P. Crow Armstrong has been phenomenal, right? You know, 25.
Would you say those
already
are the two biggest splashes? Cal Raleigh, It's not out of nowhere, but I mean, he hit 30 home runs last year. He's hit over 30 home runs in the first half. Like that's unbelievable. And then Pete Crow Armstrong, you remember during draft season, people were like, but is plate discipline. And this is like my old man, is plate discipline is terrible. He bats ninth. Like, whatever, man.
He's shutting everybody up and he's great.
Whatever, man. Watch him play.
They love him. They love him in Chicago. He's the new face of the team. I love Pete Carl Armstrong. I have one share of him in my home league, Britain. And same thing. I got a lot of shit from my league mates, like, oh, bad pick. This guy sucks. His plate discipline sucks. He's not going to be higher in the lineup. Remember in the beginning of the season, Britain, he was hitting seventh or like the lower third of the lineup. So like, people were blown about that, you know, when after they drafted him, be like, I drafted this guy and he hits in the lower third. Like his value is kind of crap, but he's been now hitting cleanup and never not looking back. He has a real chance to go 30-30 for real, but also could go 40-40 in his first real big shot at the season. Somebody asked me this, Britton, where do you draft him next year if he goes 40-40? Is he a top 12 player?
Yeah, absolutely you do. I think you 100% take a shot at him. If he finishes this year 40-40, you know, people could say something, oh, well, Cedric Mullins. You know, he's Cedric Mullins.
That's true.
That's the counter argument, right? The other argument is if he got sent down last year early and then came back, but he just keeps getting better. I think that's the key. Like,
yeah,
you know, and he's young. You know, I think he's got high upside. I think he's got Ronald Acuña type game, type attitude, type swag, type talent. You know, Ronald Acuña is a little you know, more built out because he's older and stronger, but I think their mindset, you know, attitude, like, you know, like Michael Jordan, I'm really getting
here, we go, a tangent
here. Like Michael Jordan wasn't the biggest guy on the basketball court, but his desire was far greater than anything, and he found a way to win. You know, that's just how it was. I'm not comparing Pete Crowley to Michael Jordan, but I'm just trying to make a point. Like,
no, I hear you.
You know, he's just got that you know, I'm not going to fail type attitude, and you know, he loves to play the game too, which kind of helps.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you follow me on Twitter, there's another guy I want to bring up here, Britton, and we've talked about him enough on this show already. Very much like Cal Raleigh. If Cal Raleigh's driving the breakout car, you know who's riding shotgun right next to him? It's probably P. Carl Armstrong, but you know who's maybe sitting in the middle seat, like if you're driving in a truck? You know,
Eugenio Suarez?
100%. Well, Eugenio Suarez, man. The dude is unreal. I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent here. Live chatters, back me up on this, or if you disagree, I'd love to hear your thoughts. And rightfully so, Cal Raleigh, Pete Carl Armstrong, those guys are chef's kiss. They've been phenomenal. But I don't feel like enough people are talking about the season that Eugenio Suarez is having. The dude's on pace to hit over 50 home runs. That's crazy to me. And this is a guy that was the 15th, not their number five catcher off the board. Literally doubled Cal Raleigh's ADP. That's where people were taking Eugenio Suarez. And I went back and looked at the pre-season shows. We talked about Eugenio Suarez and Cal Raleigh before the season even started. And I said, Cal Raleigh was the Eugenio Suarez of catchers because you know what you were getting. They were locks of 30 home runs, 100 RBIs. Eugenio Suarez has been one of the most consistent players in that regard in terms of, you know what you're getting, along with Cal Raleigh. So it's cool to see them both play so well this season. And I know that catcher is a much harder position to draft. Like you said earlier in the show, if you have Cal Raleigh, you have a huge leg up on everybody else in terms of that position. Third base, obviously a little deeper, but Star's talking about it here. They don't talk about Suarez because he's streaky. Well, I mean, he has streaky in terms of hitting dongs. That's what he's been doing. That he's been literally since the beginning of the season, he's been equally as good. So it's crazy that people aren't talking about him enough.
He finished last season strong too, I believe. Yeah. So it's kind of a continuation.
He's a second half player. Somebody brought that up on Twitter. He's a second half player, and look how he's already got 30 home runs at the All-Star break.
He's also hitting in the perfect spot in Arizona. That dry air, man, ball will fly. Excuse me. Yeah, so perfect spot, perfect player. Yeah, Eugenio Suarez, I don't think he's going to going to slow down any. I think he's going to keep on trucking.
Yeah, it's been fun. I haven't been all of my Yahoo leagues. I think all of them but one, actually, now that I think about it. But we've talked enough about hitters, Britton. Is there any pitchers that have stood out to you in the first half of this year?
Yeah, I've talked about David Peterson before the start of the season. He didn't get enough credit for what he did last year, starting pitcher for the New York Mets. He had a great season. His whip's a little high. Oh, yeah, truth. I get it. But his ERA was like under 3 last year. He strikes people out, batters out. He's good at it. Big tall, strong lefty. But another thing too, he's a good ground ball hitter or pitcher. So even if he does walk, a batter or two more than he should, he's not necessarily going to get killed by a home run ball. But so David Peterson is another kind of starting pitcher that is just solid. And if you look at his game log, 6 innings pitch consistently, just keeps going. It kind of reminds me like Brian Wu. And I don't know if you watched his start last night with the Yankees, man. He was cruising past 7 innings. And then, of course, just like it always happens, and I know this because I had started Wu in a couple leagues, but as it always happens, that's 7 innings of perfectly pitched game. Everything just turned around like that with a little bloop here and, something there. And next thing you know, he's got 3 earned runs tacked onto him. And you're just like, oh, no.
And Andrés Muñoz gave it up in the 9th, too, which is kind of shocking because he's been pretty lights out this year. So,
yeah, he's been one. I would say since we're talking about first half surprise, it's got to be Andrés Muñoz, who, some people rightfully picked as, going to be one of the league leaders in saves, and it's turned out that he was. Now, he blew the save last night, which I remember they put up a little thing on there. That's his 6th blown save for the season. I don't know if that's a lot or not. It seems kind of high, but,
that's a lot,
I was like, And then later they talked about maybe he was tipping his pitches or something. I don't know. Yeah,
I did see that.
But it's been a lot. But, dude, look, they played a lot of games, so I think everybody needs a break, especially – him, but yeah. if you passed on Clase and Hader, well, Hader's been good, but you know what I mean. Yeah. And if you picked some high end hitter or pitcher and waited on Munoz, you got your value times 10.
Totally agree, and I've said that. That's kind of my draft strategy too. I yanged a little when I usually yang here, Britton. I did take closer early in a couple drafts. I usually wait on closers. And when I say wait, I'm not drafting past the 15th closer off the board. I'm usually not a guy that's going to draft Class A or Hader or the top 3 closers off the board. I usually don't do that because exactly what we're talking about right now, right? Like if you pick the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th closer off the board, like there's a couple leagues, Britton. I drafted Carlos Estevez. The dude's got 20 something saves. I drafted Aroldis Chapman. There was talks about him or Hendricks. He's been one of the equally as good as Andrés Muñoz has been. It's one of those things where I feel like every year that surfaces. And not to say that Class A and Hader haven't been good. Hader's been lights out. He's been the best closer in baseball. But I'm just not willing to pay the draft price on draft day. So I always usually wait towards the latter half of that top 10 and to start addressing closer. And I'd rather take a starting pitcher or a bat. But love the call on Muñoz.
Yeah, if you're redraft, you'll wait. Yeah.
Redraft,
sure. You wait. You wait.
Yeah,
you wait. But exactly. I mean, but if you're in draft and hold, you have to draft.
Oh yeah,
in the 3rd, 4th, or 5th round. Like you really. I don't see any way around it because there's no pickups, there's no ads, there's no trades. Like you have to, because if you miss on somebody later. There's you just take a 0 or a 1 or a 2 in that category, or not a 0, but a 1, 2, or 3 in that category, and you ain't gonna win, Nope. So the closer strategy is 1,000% dependent on what type of league you're in. But redraft, agreed. Heck yeah, man. wait on that stuff. Like Shelby Miller, you could pick him up. And I know he's injured now, but he's still got like nine saves or something crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. So it all depends what kind of league you're in.
Yeah. Let's get some of this chat here. Somebody else wants to bring up Zach Neto. I can't let this one slide either. It's my boy, past pick 200. I was in on Neto going into the season as well, Joe. So I have a lot of shares of him. Glad to see him playing well. Again, another guy is going to go 20-20, possibly even 30-30 from the shortstop position. He's like Francisco Lindor light, Zach Neto. So solid batting average. He's already up. I think he's already up to like 14 or 15 home runs and close to 20 stolen bases, Britton. So hit leadoff for the Angels. I mean, this is a guy that, again, was being drafted after pick 200, Zach Neto. And a lot of it had to do with his shoulder surgery that he was coming back from. So he didn't even start the year with the team. He was on the IL and is having a phenomenal year. So if you have Zach Neto, congratulations. If he's out there, and he is in some people's leagues, I don't know why people don't like him, but he needs to be owned, in my opinion.
Okay. This is Theodore from Alvin and the Chipmunks, and you're listening to my favorite fantasy baseball podcast, the Polanco Podcast. Two L's, two Z's.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You have any Zach Meadows shares?
No, not at all, because he was injured before the season started.
Yeah.
So I have that policy kind of where, especially pitchers, but even with most hitters, I'm like, if you're coming into the season injured and your name's not Acuna, then I'm going to let somebody else take you, more than likely. Yeah. But no, Zach Neto has been awesome. Mm-hmm. And he's the exception to the rule, I would say, just because, you know, he's like one of, like, he's Pete Crow Armstrong-esque too. And like, he is, he's a crazy bulldog out there. University of Florida, go Gators. Just kidding. Screw you, Gators.
I was going to say, wow. Giving another SEC team some love here.
Spurrier. Yeah, whatever, dude.
Yeah, sorry. Correction here. Neto's up to 14 home runs, 16 stolen bases, 57 runs, and batting 273. So that will play, my friends. Here's a good one here from Andy Bell. Most valuable, Matthew Boyd. This is another one that we should really be talking about.
It's true. He's
been phenomenal for the Cubs. And I bet you the Cubs are licking their chops, because they're like, we weren't expecting him to be this good. You know, on the season so far, Britton, he's 9-3 with a 2.52 ERA. He's been phenomenal. I have a couple shares of him that I end up picking up off waivers. I didn't draft him, but if you waited on pitching like I did in my home league, having Matthew Boyd has been great. So what are your thoughts here on him?
Great first half of the season. Made his first All-Star game.
Yeah,
you know, and you let me know if I'm wrong. This is the same Matthew Boyd from the Detroit Tigers. Like, Correct. Didn't he win Rookie of the Year? Maybe I'm confusing him with somebody, but yeah, he's come through the dark tunnel, and he's been in the dark tunnel, and he's come through the other side. And I think it's a testament to his mental toughness and everything else, and character and all that. So, you know, you loved it. That only in baseball, man. Like that, what these players, especially pitchers, go through: arm injuries, you know, pain, suffering, surgeries, and come out the other side just because they have that fire, you know. Whereas, like, if I get a little touch of fever and the sniffles, I'm like in bed, you know. Oh God, Sarah.
Yeah, there you go. I know that's right.
Got some ice water.
All right.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, Fantasy Sports wants to know head-to-head points in redraft here. Who do you like better, I guess, between Ward, Stowers, and Profar? This is an interesting one.
Head-to-head points redraft. Yeah, that is interesting. I'm going to keep Ward, just because I think this is like his career year. I like Stowers and Profar too. Profar has kind of hit the ground running a little bit. I know his average isn't great, but in points it doesn't matter. Yeah. So yeah, I think, long story short, I think Ward's going to hit the most home runs, and in points, that's all that matters. So I'll take Ward.
I agree with that 100%. And another guy that still is just absolutely blowing my head, my mind right now. I don't know why he's not owned in more leagues. I get it. The average is something left to be desired. So like what Britton said, if you play in a points league, Ward needs to be owned. But even in Cats, he was a sub 200 hitter. He's been on a roll. I think he's back up to 220, 230. I think he finishes 240, 250, somewhere in that range. And he's going to have a career year in home runs. He hit 24 last year. I think he's already up to 23 in the first half, so, or somewhere in the low 20s. So
that team hits home runs.
That's all they do, man.
Hey, Trout hits home runs. He's Adele. Still healthy. So yeah, I mean, put him in the lineup with Trout. Why not?
Yeah. Go for it. This is another one here from Star Platinum. I want to talk about this because I've gotten this question probably 100 times, Britton, with Rasmussen and Joe Boyle, which, again, if you own Joe Boyle, lineup's already locked in. Rasmussen is pitching today. They're going to limit his innings, Britton, and Joe Boyle is going to be the piggyback guy off of Rasmussen. So the GM did say that Joe Boyle will likely get in the game today after Rasmussen pitches, but Rasmussen's innings are capped and his pitches are capped. So they're maybe saving him for the playoffs, I would assume, if they make it. What are you doing with Drew Rasmussen, though, noting that he's not going to go deep into games? Like if you play in a wins league or a quality starts league, how do you approach this situation, both with Rasmussen and Boyle?
I like them both. So like if you're playing in points and you got an SP RP slot, you know, put them in there because he's going to be RP eligible too. So
yep.
I like them both. I like pitchers that are good and will give you good innings, and I think Rasmussen and Boyle will do both things. Now you have to have the right team construct. You can't have five Rasmussens, you know, in your starter slots or anything like that. But yeah, I think especially as the season progresses, things happen, and a lot of times what the plan is one thing, but as Mike Tyson famously said, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the face. If they need him to start six, seven innings, come down the stretch, I think they're going to make him do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. I think for me Boyle, if I had to pick between the two, cause I've gotten this question a lot too, Rasmussen or Joe Boyle, I think I'm going to go Boyle because I like the K upside better with him. Every game that he's pitched in, Britton, he's walked away with at least seven strikeouts. Yeah, he's their young prized prospect there. So I like Joe Boyle here. If you own Rasmussen, like Britton said, your team context is important. I'm very much like Britton. I like guys who can give me quality innings, and even if he only goes three or four with zero earned and, you know, four or five Ks, he's a guy that can help you out in ratios as well. Maybe they let him go. I mean, he has some effective innings. Maybe he's in line for a win or a quality start. But and lastly, Britton, it also depends on who else is out there, right? Like if you have somebody that you can easily move on from like Drew Rasmussen and pick up somebody who can help you out in the long term, you know, team league size, team context, all that other stuff. I think Rasmussen could be a drop, but it would depend on who you're dropping him for.
Hey, pick up good pitchers.
Yes.
And let the chips fall where they may, because the pitchers that you have right now, here we are, what, July 11th, all those pitchers aren't going to be healthy September 1st or September 28th, or whenever the final, like those guys aren't going to be there, you know, hopefully most of them, but maybe not. So go ahead and grab good pitchers, because at some point, you know, not everybody's coming back. Like, is Hunter Green coming back? I don't know. Is Cole Reagan's coming back? I don't know. That's maybe true. Hopefully, but when they do, are they going to be the same? I don't know. Grab good pitchers now, and then just hope for the. Hopefully, they stay on your bench. That'd be great, but that's not reality. You know,
totally agree. Skywalker wants to know: is Sheehan droppable in a 10-teamer? Might not be a starter. Options on the waiver wire are Will Warren. This is another interesting one because I've been talking about this literally since he came up for his first start, and everyone was goo goo gaga over him. And rightfully so. I love Emmett Sheehan. We actually talked about it, you and I, Britton, on one of the shows.
Oh, yeah.
So go back and rewind the tapes and watch that. I do think that we'll run into an issue with getting him consistent starts when everyone's healthy. Blake Snell is going to be back after the All-Star break. Tyler Snell is here. Otani's pitching. Dustin May, Clayton Kershaw, Yamamoto. There's just way too many mouths to feed in this rotation. The Dodgers love to go six man. That will not change. They will be a six man rotation moving forward. I think if Sheehan is up, he'll be a long reliever once everybody's healthy. But to Britton's point, which he brought up on a previous show, somebody in that rotation is always hurt. And Sheehan could easily be plugged into that spot when that does end up happening. But what are you doing here with Sheehan, Britton? Skywalker wants to know, would you hold him or would you fold him?
I try to hang on to him, obviously. But, you know, when I was watching Clayton Kershaw, when he got the 3,000 strikeout or whatever, in his press conference, you know, that he was talking about, he's like, everybody gave me such encouragement. And the whole time he's grabbing his left arm doing like this, you know.
Britton doesn't like to see that, folks.
Like, look, I know he just went and he got his thing, but the whole time he's like, yeah, it was great. Like, that ain't okay, man.
Nope.
But the adrenaline's worn off, and guess what's barking? You know, the right shoulder. I mean, excuse That's me, left shoulder. Anyway, so I'm a huge Emmett Sheehan fan, so
yeah.
I'm trying to keep him everywhere I can.
Yeah, I have him in the shallow league as well, Skywalker. At least I'm going to get until he's removed from it, I'm not dropping him. So until I hear more information from Dave Roberts on whether or not Sheehan's going to be in the rotation long term, I don't think it makes much sense.
It's tough to hang on people in 10 team leagues. I hear you, and if you got to do it, you got to do it. But definitely, if you drop them, you know, keep your eye on it. Hopefully, nobody picks them up.
That's right. Yeah. All right. So Skywalker,
I wouldn't pick up. I wouldn't drop. Would you drop him for Will Warren for the Yankees?
Here's the thing with Will Warren. I like him from a cape. Like, I know he had that 14 crazy strikeout game, and we've seen some flashes.
He's the perfect like best ball pitcher.
Yeah, you know? He really is.
He's going to have wicked starts, but killer, you know, seven earned run starts too. It's kind of like,
yeah,
he's a great best ball player. Best but ball. Roto, I don't know.
Yeah, same thing with Katz. I'm not sure. I'm dropping him for Will Warren in a 10 teamer. I'd be interested to know who's still out there for you though, Skywalker. Here's an interesting one as well. Everyone knows I have love for Bubba Chandler. Bubba pitched well in his last game, which was yesterday. I guess there's been some rumblings, Britton, that maybe he starts. He comes up after the break, after the All-Star break, and Mitch Keller is on the trade market here. So if Keller is removed and gets traded to somewhere like the Cubs, Bubba could find his way into that rotation. Now it's going to take a lot more than one start that he had, or one or two starts after the just absolutely abysmal walks and hit by pitches that he's had. What are you doing with Bubba Chandler? Maybe in a redraft league here, Britton, are you looking to stash or are you waiting and seeing here?
I'm going to wait and see, because forget about Bubba's talent. Forget about his last start. Forget about all his starts. Think, put yourself, because none of that matters. Here's what matters. What is the Pirates GM thinking about Bubba Chandler's long term? Is Control. He thinking, well, I'm trading Mitch Keller, so I'm going to bring up Bubba? No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Is he worried about, you know, their win-loss record this season? No. They have a 0.0% chance of making the play wild card or anything. Yep. So team context, this isn't the Dodgers. This isn't the Rays. This is the Pirates. I just don't think they're going to bring up this guy until maybe for a cup of coffee when rosters expand. I think they're going to hold him back for time manipulation. I don't think they're going to bring him up. They have no reason to. And I'm not 100% clear on how, you know, if they bring him up now, does that ruin his eligibility for next year? I don't
think so. Yeah.
Maybe not as a time lapse for that. I don't know. But but the Pittsburgh Pirates know. And they're not. I don't know why they would bring him up, you know, at the end of July on a lost season. I just don't know. Would it now? Remember, what does Bubba Chandler have the talent to be a go right in the starting lineup right now and be better than, you know, everybody but Skeens? Yes. Does that matter to the Pirates? No.
No.
I mean, that's just it. Like that's the problem. What do you think?
I'm with you 100%. I don't disagree with anything that you just said. It's wait and see for me. I was expecting the Pirates to bring him up in May, and they didn't. Before he was even having any of these walk issues. It's the Pirates. They're a poorly run organization. Everyone knows that. Everyone and their grandmother. So I think you watch list him. If you play in extremely deep leagues and you're hurting for pitching, maybe I can understand stashing him. But I don't. There's been no inkling to think that he's close. It's all just speculation at this point. And not to mention too, Britton, like if he's had that big of a walk issue already in the minors, like we're not talking a game or two. There was like huge stretch, like for a month that he was just walking and hitting guys. So that might rear its ugly head again in the majors. I just don't know if this is the year for Bubba Chandler, Jordan, and everybody else watching. I think maybe next year he might have some value. But this year is definitely not the year, in my opinion. I hope I'm wrong, because I love Bubba Chandler. He's my favorite pitching prospect. But Britton, Bubba Chandler.
Maybe I'm too pessimistic about no, maybe I'm giving the Pittsburgh Pirates like a bad rap or something.
You're not. That is Pittsburgh through and through. Other than Paul Skeens, name me another situation where they've done that and done the right thing by some of these guys. They don't. That's who they are. And guess what? Skeens and Chandler will no longer be Pittsburgh Pirates when their contracts are up. So they're not going to do anything to retain them. They're just a poorly run organization. If you're a Pittsburgh fan, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to doo-doo on your team, but I know you know what I'm talking about, because you're living it. I'm an O's guy. I dealt with it with Angelos for a while. So, Britton, here's a good one for you. Bubba Chandler or Andrew Painter, this year, do you have any interest in either of them?
I would think I would stash Painter, because the Phillies are in the hunt. So I think they're be more than happy. And you know, Dave Dombrowski, or I'm sorry if I mispronounced the name. You know what I'm talking about. Like,
right. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a carpe diem guy. He doesn't care about tomorrow. There is no tomorrow.
He eats his beignets for sure.
Buy future, sell future. There is no future. Shout out Devil's Advocate, 1999, right. Keanu. You know what I'm talking about.
That's right.
So I think Andrew Painter's got a very, very, very good chance of being up sooner than later. What do you think?
I do as well. I think we probably see him later in the year. Like, I don't think we see him like after the All-Star break. Probably think you see him sometime in August, if I had to guess, because they're going to be careful with him too. He's coming off Tommy John. So, or was it Tommy John or shoulder? I can't remember which one it was, but he's coming off injury. So they're being careful with him. But I do agree. If I had to pick and start all over again, like if I had to pick who the number one pitching prospect in baseball is currently as today, it's Andrew Painter. So I think I'd rather have him. And he plays on a winning team, like you already alluded to. So
see, I'd say Mizrowski, number one.
That's right. Yes.
Still eligible, rookie eligible.
Forgot about him.
That dude is nuts, man. I watched, he was at Nashville Sound. So I'm extremely biased because I saw him in person a couple times in Nashville. Yeah. But man, watching him pitch reminds me a little bit of Randy Johnson. You know, just arms and legs.
My
you know, like
pitcher,
like when you drive by, down the highway with all the car dealerships, and you see that thing blowing, you know, that thing that dude blowing like, you know, zero finance, 6 months, like that's right. Mizrowski.
Where Govia works.
Yeah, that's right. His ATVs. I don't care about your credit. Right. I care about you. That's Mizrowski, man. He's all that stuff. I love watching him pitch was awesome. He beat the Dodgers the other day. It was great.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to get through a couple of these really, really quick, because I also want to get into some other things I wanted to talk about really quick. And we're coming up on time. Tommy Gunn says head-to-head points, redraft, Trout or Churio rest of the season. Who you got?
Oh, that's a great question. Points. I might go Trout. And I love Jackson Churio, but if you don't care about stolen bases and you just want home run, yeah, I might say Trout. What do you think?
I'm going Churio. I just don't trust Trout to get to stay healthy. That's the only reason why I'm picking.
Yeah,
that's the only reason why I'm picking Jackson Churio. If you told me guaranteed that Trout would stay healthy all season long, I'd go Trout. Here's a softball for you, Britton. Luzardo or Mizrowski?
Hey, I'm rooting for Jesus Luzardo. Yeah. He started out hot, like in the Cy Young, you know, so I wish him the best, but no, man, watch Mizrowski pitch. It's awesome.
It's Mizrowski for me too, Charles. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Thank you. Skywalker wants to know, G-Rod, Shane McClanahan, Bieber can be good pickups, or he doesn't want to know. I guess he's telling everybody. But really quick, Britton, I know everyone, if you've been watching this show, you know how Britton feels about guys who are injured pitchers. All of these guys are currently on the IL, but will hopefully make their returns at some point during the season. Britton, are any of these guys on your radar? And if so, who is that?
I'm kind of interested in Shane McClanahan coming back, and I know he's going to be eased in and all that, but man, he's talented. I think Bieber's cooked. No thanks. And Hey, I loved you, Shane Bieber, 5-pitch mix back in the day with those veneers, man. Mm. It's all good, but those days are over. Let's not live in the past. Carpe diem. Let's move forward. I think Shane McClanahan can help you. Moving forward, he'd be my bet if I had a space to bet.
Yeah, same. I'd go. I don't think it's particularly close either. And I'm an O's guy. I don't think you should expect much from G-Rod this year or Bieber. I think Shane McClanahan's definitely got the highest ceiling. He's already pitching. He's pitching in AAA on Sunday, Brett, and should go 2 innings. But we likely see him sometime in early to mid-August. Could make a run there with the Rays, but we'll see. UE2K dropped Ward and Cags for Stowers and Otto Lopez. Both have cooled off immensely. Should I add Ward and Cags back? Newsflash here, UE. Should have never dropped Ward to get go. You should have kept him. So I would drop maybe Otto Lopez. Have they been that cold? I don't think they've been that cold, have they?
Well, remember,
like I would be adding Ward.
Yeah, I think I know what happened because I'm not sure if you noticed, but the Miami Marlins went on a heater, like 16 straight wins. It was crazy, but no one cares about Miami, so I don't think a whole lot of people noticed. But they were ripping it up for a while, and Stowers hitting bombs, and Otto Lopez bats third every day for some reason. I still might have to get his tattoo on my stamp
lower back.
Who knows? We'll see. I've done crazier things. But I would pick up Ward for either Stowers or Lopez. I'll leave Cags out there. He's a great player, but you don't need to pick him up.
I agree with Britton wholeheartedly. I think you add Ward immediately, UE2K. Do it. All right, real quick, Britton, I want to get into some other things here too. That you guys who have dropped questions, we'll try to get to them, I promise. Let's hear a second half. I'm going to put you on the spot here, Britton. Let's hear a second half prediction here. Any player, doesn't matter if they're hot, cold, or indifferent. What's one of your bold takes for the second half here for fantasy baseball?
All right. So in one of my leagues, Ozzy Albies was dropped. And I wanted to pick him up because I'm a Ozzy Albies lover of his game. And, it wasn't only a couple. It was like 2023 where he hit like over 30 home runs. From a little, 5'7", 170-pound dude from Curacao. You know how hard it is to get from Curacao to the Atlanta Braves? You don't want to know. It's hard. Real hard. But he did it. And so he's been an all-star. He's had success. He's still young. He's 28, I believe, maybe younger. Mm-hmm. So I saw him drop, and I was like, I've got some problems on second base. Like, Jacob Wilson is hurt. Like, I've got some second base problems. Brandon Lau, and he may be back soon, maybe not, I don't know, but anyway, long story short, so I saw Ozzy Albies on the waiver wire, and I was like, so I put in waiver, and I'm going to pick him up. So in the meantime, I put him in Statcast, and I'm looking at his stats. It's awful. It's worse than I expected. His ex-WOBA, ex-BA, ex-slug, exit velo, barrel rate, it is literally the bottom of the barrel. It was shocking to me, because if you kind of just look at his stats, 7 home runs, 7 stolen bases, that's not great. But, if he pumps it up a little bit, he could sniff, 15, 20, something. But I was like, well, the Braves will heat up. He'll heat up.
Has to.
I don't think so. Bad. Can't be this bad. Yeah, he can. Yeah. There is absolutely nothing in his metrics that sniff this is going to turn around. Nothing. It's not bad luck. Every he's either hurt or something's happened to him, and it started last year, and it's gone on this year. I hope he turns around. I actually have a RotoWare t-shirt that says Ozzy Albiest. Albiest.
Love that.
So Ozzy Albiest is my second half. I left him on the waiver wire. I was like, I don't see anything there. So that's kind of my second half disappointment. Yeah. So since I did a disappointment, let me do a quick light at the end of the tunnel here. Masataka Yoshida for the Red Sox. He's only utility eligible right now, but he's batting third today. He was injured the entire first half of the season. He plays for the Red Sox. The Red Sox are on a roll. He's kind of interesting. I'm going to pick him up and at least see how it goes, because the Red Sox are going to play him. They paid him. They're going to play him. He's a lefty bat in Fenway Park. I think he could hit 280 and, you know, maybe not a ton of home runs, but I think he offers some upside. And I think he's like the sneakiest sneakers is Masataka Yoshida for the Red Sox, batting third behind Bregman tonight. What do you think? Crazy?
No, I don't think it's crazy. I just don't know where he slots into that lineup, like with all these guys, right? Like, I think he will sit against some lefties. I know that they paid him, but he's kind of been like sunk cost at this point, because you got him, you got Rob Refsnyder, you got Willy Abreu, Roman Anthony, Marcelo Mayer. Like, there's a lot of guys in this lineup that need to play. And I don't know if Yoshida's a full-time starter. Now, if they deal Jaron Duran, then I think that opens a slot here for Yoshida. He's not going to play the outfield, but he will be in a DH spot, I think. And I think that opens playing time for him. But I think Duran would have to move on from that team, which apparently the Padres have been super aggressive at going after him. And I think that might open some things for him. I like that team, Britton. Boston's surging right now. Ever since they got rid of Raffy Devers, it seems like they've kind of turned a corner here a little bit. They're also in the mix for a first baseman, starting pitcher, and bullpen. So it looks like the Red Sox are going to be buyers at the deadline.
Yeah, it's fun for Boston right now. But they've got all those interesting players, and they'll mix and match. But I believe in my heart of hearts that they're going to give Yoshida a chance to earn the money that they're paying him. So we'll see. Who are your second half bust and or boomers?
Oh man, I love the you're putting me on the spot here. I'll start with the boomer. Okay. And I don't think this is a secret for anybody, but I am in on Chandler Simpson going on an absolute tear for stolen bases. I know a lot of people were in and out on him coming back up, because he doesn't really offer much in terms of power. He's like essentially Billy Hamilton 2.0. And I was one of those people, and I changed my mind on him. Britton, he's hitting like close to 400 since he's gotten back up in the majors. I mean, he's hitting like high three somethings.
Yeah, he's hitting over 300. He's been great.
Yeah, and he's got like 26 stolen bases. He is one of the fastest guys in baseball. It's between him and Ellie De La Cruz. I might even go Chandler Simpson. But this guy could literally win you your stolen base category. And I think he's going to have 50 plus steals if they let him play every day. He's that fast and that good. And he's a game changer. I think his spot in the lineup needs to improve a little bit, because he was hit ninth. I think he moved up to seventh, but he's got great contact skills. This guy does not strike out a whole lot. I think he's going to give you average OBP runs and stolen bases. I think that's that minimum that you're going to get from Chandler Simpson. You get no power from him whatsoever. Probably won't get a whole lot of RBI opportunities where he's at in the lineup, but love me some Chandler Simpson. Britton, what do you think about that?
Yeah, Chandler Simpson is one of my favorite pickups this year, because he can literally change the game with his speed. He's so dynamic, and he's been starting regularly, but if for some reason, even on days he doesn't start, they can still use him as a pinch runner to steal a couple bases. And also, the Rays are legitimately in the running against the Yankees and Blue Jays and all that. I mean, they have a legitimate chance, especially with their pitching, and their hitters are hitting. Obviously, Aranda, Caminero. I did write down Caminero because I have him in a couple leagues, and I don't know if you drafted him anywhere. Not to hijack your Chandler Simpson thing, but just by the way, no. Junior Caminero, third baseman for the Rays, on pace to hit 46 home runs, 110 runs, 120 RBIs with a 250 average and 10 stolen bases. Junior Caminero, if you waited on third base and hit up Junior, like puts Devers to shame. Like, 100%. You wish Devers had Junior Caminero's line. But anyway, but we talked about this too. We love hitters in the Tampa Bay Rays where they're playing this all the summer long. So, yeah, Chandler Simpson's great. He's just a game changer, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you on Junior Caminero. I was a year too early on him. If you guys followed me last year, I was very, very much into Junior Caminero. And same thing, the Rays kind of did what the Pirates did. They waited till September to call his ass up. And I was out on his draft price this year just because I just wasn't willing to pay that without seeing a full season under his belt or even a handful of games really at the major league level. And boy, was I wrong. So I'm regretting it now. We saw it from the minors and we saw a small glimpse of him when he came up, but late in the season, but I wish I had one singular share because I have some serious FOMO, Britton. All right. My bust. Here's a good one. My bust this year, Britton, Yordan Alvarez is going to be the biggest bust of 2025 because of his hand or his finger or whatever the hell is going on. He's still not swinging a bat. They gave him two injections. This is Kyle Tucker 2.0. The Astros have been terrible at managing this situation. I don't think that we see him until late August, early September, and then he's going to be ice cold, not going to provide much value, and everyone's going to be sitting on him. So, that sucks for Astros fans and Yordan Alvarez owners alike.
You're right. You're 100% right. It is Kyle Tucker all over again. Mm-hmm. They screwed up his shin injury, you know, and literally Yordan Alvarez, their best hitter, is out till who knows when. Yep. Because of how they screwed that up. It's such a shame because, you know, he's a 300 batting average power hitter that they just screwed it up. And so, yeah, Yordan Alvarez, I don't know, is he done for the year?
Seriously, that cannot be put off the table. I don't think he's done. It was just inflammation in his hand with the soreness thing. But if he's still not swinging a bat, like I fully expected him, and I said this from the jump when he got his two inflammation shots or whatever the hell they were, that he'd be back after the All-Star break. That's not going to happen. I would actually be shocked if we see him at all in July. And I certainly would not be surprised if we didn't see him at all this year, Britton, and they shut him down.
Yeah.
Like it's that bad.
I think you're right.
Yep.
I think you're right. I know we're bumping up on time here. Did you want to play our game or did you want to go ahead to save that for later? We can save it for next time if you want.
Let's do it because I want everybody in the live chat still watching us. This is going to be a fun one, so I want you guys to help us out here.
All right, so last podcast we were on, Mike V, every now and then you get a little view into Mike V's soul, just a teeny little bit. Sometimes you read between the lines, you know, like stuff he says or stuff he thinks funny. And one thing Mike V kind of let his guard down a little bit was that he loves country music. A huge country music fan. Now,
huge.
Being from the, North, and I don't want to give away where we're from, but being it's from fine. The Go eastern part of the nation, not the southern part, the eastern part, an Orioles fan, you wouldn't consider that a country music fan, but he is. So I also figured if you're into country music, then Mike V also loves NASCAR drives, races, right? Country, right? So here's Mike V living over there in the East Coast, cranking up his country music. Popping open that Milwaukee's best light, natural light.
Right.
Turning on that NASCAR race. And he's got one of those scanners, you know, so he can listen to the drivers, talk to the crew. He's got that going, you know.
This is turning into be highly entertaining.
So in honor of that, now I know nothing about NASCAR. I mean, I always wanted to go to a race like in Bristol, a night race. I've heard it's fun.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, never did it.
Yeah.
But so I know nothing about NASCAR. I don't know. Like I literally can't like Jeff Gordon.
Jimmy like Johnson.
He retired 20 years ago. Yeah, I don't. Other than that, I don't know any NASCAR. All right, so I was like, so I wanted to see, I wanted to compare Mike V's NASCAR driver knowledge against his Major League Baseball knowledge. So I've got a list here. We're going to see if you know the game is NASCAR driver or Major League Baseball player. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Fire away.
All right, the first. And obviously in no particular order, the first one, and I guess it's 50-50. So, you know, you flip a coin and you'll get it right half the time. Anyway, so, but if you do know, let us know.
Yeah.
Anthony Alfredo. Mr. Anthony Alfredo.
I'm going to go NASCAR driver.
Correct. Anthony Alfredo drives for Team Chevrolet.
I'm a Chevy guy too.
You're a Chevy guy. See, I should have known. He ranks 21st in NASCAR points.
Okay.
Hey, that's pretty good. Way to go, Anthony Alfredo. Yeah. I mean, that's a good career you got going. All right. Number two, Taylor Gray. And it's Gray as in G R A Y. Taylor Gray.
Gray.
Does he drive a NASCAR? No. Does he drive in the NASCAR races, or does he play baseball?
That sounds like a baseball player. I'm going to go baseball.
That is incorrect. Mr. Gray, the 12 Shades. Did you read those novels, the 12 Shades of Gray, whatever?
No.
Are you sure?
50 Shades, my wife might have. I don't read.
Oh, yeah, I would. 50. Yeah, you're right. It wasn't. Yeah. What is it? Oh, you know why I said 12 Shades? Because Taylor Gray drives car number 12. There you go. So, all right. So, Mike B's out there drinking his natties, watching the NASCAR. His wife's indoors reading the 50 Shades of Gray novels. Everybody's happy.
Right.
All right. Are you ready for another one? All right.
I am. Let's go.
Ryan Sieg, S-I-E-G, Ryan Sieg.
That's a baseball player.
That is a NASCAR driver.
Damn it, I'm off. Ford, are these all NASCAR drivers?
Ford Racing, number 14 in the NASCAR standings. That's better than Mr. Alfredo over there.
That's better than 21, yeah.
So Ryan Sieg, Ford Racing,
14th. That's why I don't know.
As a Chevrolet guy, are you anti Ford or do you care, or how does that work?
You know what Ford stands for?
I'm pretty sure it stands for John T. Ford.
Yeah, Ford stands for fixed or repaired daily. That's what Ford stands for.
Excuse me, that's some NASCAR smack talk. Never happened on this show before. All right, I've got one last name for you. This is
all right. It better be a baseball player.
It better be a baseball. All right, I'll find one. All right, Brian Hoeing. Brian Hoeing, H-O-E-I-N-G. Brian, and that's Brian with a Y. I don't know if that helps you with anything.
No,
Brian with a Y, Hoeing.
That's got to be a baseball player.
It's a baseball player. I wanted to do another NASCAR player just to do all NASCAR.
You should have.
To mess with you. I couldn't find one. But yes, Brian Hoeing is a relief pitcher for the Padres.
There you go.
See, I tried to pick players on the West Coast, so I thought you might be a little less familiar with the random players on the West Coast. So good job, Mike V. You approve that you don't know anything about NASCAR.
I don't. I don't know shit about NASCAR. You want to know how NASCAR got its name, though? There's a little dad joke for you.
Oh, is this the nice car?
Damn it. You got it. Yeah. Sorry, for everyone who doesn't know, two guys sitting on a front porch. Nice car drives by. He says to his buddy, man, that's a nice car. So that's where it came from. Do you know what NASCAR stands for, Britton? little trivia for you. I'm gonna.
That's a great question. That's like, what does SCUBA stand for? No, or NASA. No, I have no idea what actual NASCAR stands for.
Stands for the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing. And I did just Google that. So if you saw my screen light up, I wanted to make sure I got that right.
Yeah, that's like asking the kids these days, like, what does KFC stand for? I guarantee you no one under the age of like 25 knows what KFC stands for, you know?
Which hurts my soul. It really does. Like, these kids.
The Colonel.
Get out and live, you know? All right. Thank you guys very much. That was fun, Britton. I appreciate you doing that. Thank you guys very much for joining in. Hopefully you learned something here. Join us on Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern time. I'm going to go ahead and say we're going to do a Sunday show, Britton. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I'll be in. There.
All right, I'm in too. So there you go. Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern. We'll see if Gove is up to joining us. But bring your questions. We'll get them answered. If we didn't answer your questions here, you can get in the live chat. You can get in the Discord that we have available in the description of this video, as well as join us on Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern. Follow myself at underscore Mike VA right here. Follow my good buddy, Britton Allen, over there. Two T's, two L's. You can follow us on X. We'll get your question answered. Just hit us up. Thank you guys very much for joining. And Britton, it is Friday, my friend. It is Friday. And you know that we cannot end without the master and commander himself.
Captain Jack Aubrey. Hit it, Jack.
Right, lads. Now, I know there's not a faint heart among you. And I know you're as anxious as I am to get into close action. But we must bring him right up beside us before we spring this trap. That will test our nerve. And discipline will count just as much as courage. The Acheron is a tough nut to crack. More than twice our guns, more than twice our numbers. And they will sell their lives dearly. They mean to take us as a prize. And we are worth more to them undamaged. Their greed will be their downfall. England is under threat of invasion. And though we be on the far side of the world, this ship is our home. This ship is England. So it's every hand to his rope or gun. Quick's the word and sharp's the action. After all, surprise is on our side.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.